Welcome everybody to the episode 26 of IsCast, our March. Is it March now?
It is.
March 1st.
Oh God, I'm getting old.
We have here with
counting
us.
Counting by months now?
We have here with us Wade Wojcik.
Yep.
Myself, Lee Anderson. We have a special guest also, Kellen Berg.
Hey.
We'll get to him shortly. Also on the mixer, we have Sean Doyle.
Hello.
He might chime in here and there.
Kellen Berg, we should add from Woolly Rhino.
Yep.
A production company here in the Twin Cities.
We've done work with them on a couple of shorts, and they've helped us out with Down Under Heaven as well. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Okay. Yeah. I'm Kellen Berg. I'm going to repeat everything that you just said. No.
Just better.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, yeah, Kellen Berg. I'm with Woolly Rhino Productions, and I'm basically a writer-producer there. And almost 2 years ago, come this fall, we did The Writer, 2013.
2 years.
So what's The Writer?
The Writer is a short film about a guy who is having a creative struggle with coming up with concept and writing stuff. So, hence The Writer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which we were fortunate enough to help out with.
Yep.
Yeah, luckily we had you guys there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you also, on the side too, with a couple friends, you have another YouTube channel, right?
Yep, yeah, Comedy Fiends. So we do sketch comedy, basically.
Not Comedy Friends.
It's not Comedy Friends. There's an R in there, but, you know, whatever. Like, if you still search for it,
yeah.
I mean, whatever. If you're trying to search for us, great, awesome. But, yeah, you can go onto YouTube and search that, and it should pop up.
I've really enjoyed your really short format stuff. Just like...
Yeah, 10-second mysteries,
yeah.
one of the highlights.
Those are a favorite of many that I speak to, yeah.
Where you play a French detective named, what was the name again?
Gaston St-Pierre.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. He's
very stereotypical Frenchman.
Just love baguettes and coffee and smoking. I
don't
smoked
know if
yet. I should smoke, though,
have
in another one.
Have you eaten a baguette in an episode?
No, my partner, who's basically, he's like Watson,
yep.
And he just eats, he ate a baguette that was actually a bomb. So
that's right.
That's
it had like a ticking thing on it, right?
Yeah, there was just a watch on it. It was a shoestring that was the wire. So yeah, it quickly is like, oh yep, that's a bomb.
They're little quick, like 20-30 second little bits on YouTube. And the first line is always what? Now the mystery.
Now the mystery is, and then whatever it is.
Can you do it in the Gaston voice?
Oh God. let's see. What can I say?
just put him on the spot.
Now, the mystery is, what is in this meat? So, mystery meat.
Awesome. That's what you did there.
Yeah.
It's also worth noting, Kellen, you were the lead character. You played the lead character in our film Down Under Heaven, our Halo fan film.
Mm-hmm.
And that was shot this last fall. You were there every day on set, mostly wearing the ODST armor.
Mm-hmm.
I applaud you for that.
How was that experience?
Wearing it, it was good and bad. I mean, some stuff was uncomfortable to wear. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just moving around is harder than sitting down.
I can't imagine.
You just have to be careful, especially wearing the helmet when it fogs up. You get mad.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So,
did it keep you warm in the cold?
Yeah, it was awesome. Yeah, okay. That was probably the best part when we were outside.
And I don't know if we mentioned this, but yeah, we shot... the outdoor stuff was pretty cold, and so especially in the morning when we would shoot, that visor, the clear visor, would fog up like right away, which was kind of a struggle to work around.
Mm-hmm.
But Kellen, you were really good at like lifting it up, kind of wiping it off as best you can, and then quick popping it down when we were doing a take.
Yeah, I think if it, you know, it's just something that's gonna be there. It's
right.
Adds a little more realism to it. And although I think David said something about how the normally ODST armor has a ventilation or something so it doesn't fog up.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know. It
sounds
future.
Like really bad prop makers.
Right. If we had more time. But there's really, I don't know. It's hard to put a vent like right in a spot that makes sense on that helmet.
Yeah.
But also what I like too, talking about realism with the helmet, is we had you record your lines with it on. A lot of times in the movies when people are wearing helmets and they record the lines, it just sounds like they're talking in open air that you don't have like the muffled helmet sound. So I kind of like that we had that.
We also had a lot of times the wireless mic too.
Yes, which sounds great.
Cool.
So just get that in the moment,
right?
Acting and still get a nice voice.
Another thing that we asked Kellen to do was to act against a lot of things that weren't there. Mm-hmm. Pretend that this is there. Pretend this, that is there. Have you done a lot of that before, prior to this film?
Nope. No. So. Unless it was something where the other actor wasn't in the scene and I would just have to act off of nothing or something. Oh, yeah. Like something like that, but mm-hmm. never with special effects.
Which you kind of had to do as well with Rosetta.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. But she was there. Emmeline was there. Right. Her voice, at least. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We really set you up for a Marvel movie. Like, you should really, you know, contact them.
Yeah. Hey, I did this.
I wore a suit. Yep. I acted with nothing there.
Robert Downey Jr. won't wear the Iron Man suit in full anymore. He just wants it to be CG. So mm-hmm. you're one up on him.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think for the first one, he wore the full suit and then he was just like, no, I don't want
to. Well, it's hard. Like you said, it gets
tough. I don't know. I wonder what's his reasoning. He's just, it sucks wearing.
I can look it up right now. Here we go.
Yeah, to like put it on and like not be able to go to the bathroom and like things like that.
That wasn't too hard with this suit, though.
Sit down and
Sean knows.
Yeah. But yeah, then I was just wondering now that we have you on the podcast.
God, ruin the mic. Sorry.
I don't know. What was your favorite part of being on set and shooting the project?
I think I really like being on set, just being there with a group of people, and we're all trying, like we're actually doing work, and you can tell what you can see the work happening. Like, you know, you fill up the cards, you have footage, and you get it done. And there's a lot of physical work too, which I enjoy because mm-hmm. it's not just sitting at a desk doing nothing. That was a cat.
Yeah,
that wasn't me. That wasn't me meowing. There's a cat in the background here.
Yeah, that's great. And I totally agree. You know, we were lucky enough to have a pretty large crew for this film. People just donating their time and helping out. I think
that was awesome.
Jim, the guy who was there for the weekend, you know, he was doing just whatever job we could throw at him. He's doing a lot of laying on floors, flicking on lights.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially in the cold too. Like people showing up for that.
Yeah.
So cold.
I know David was great with setting up, you know, the heat tent, which I didn't even think of. He because we had to push production back a week and we were kind of delaying further into the late fall. He said, Wade, we have to come up with a winter contingency, which is a Halo term.
Nice.
In case it's too cold out. Yeah. So it was probably painful for you guys to have to, like, you know, not get to wear coats and be acting out in the cold, but you guys did awesome.
Well, it was in the suit. Like, for myself, I was fine, especially when I could put the helmet on. I was like, I need to be warm, so I just dropped the helmet down, and it's humid in there for my own breath.
But the gloves were cut off at the knuckle, so your fingers were exposed.
Yeah, those were cold. But it wasn't like a pilot suit like Katie had to wear.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I guess as far as the film goes in post, we're still editing away. Probably going to be in that phase for quite a while, unfortunately, as you guys know with the writer.
Mm-hmm.
Have you helped out with the post at all on writer?
Not really. Just I did some ADR last week because we're going to replace some lines for the Guardian character.
Okay.
But
did you voice the Guardian then?
Technically, yeah.
Okay.
If it pans out. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Are there any moments where we could see his face talk that you have to match to?
Nope.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's right fun. On.
Yeah, so, that's basically it. I haven't done any of the effects work. I wouldn't know what I'm doing.
We'll make sure to link to the trailer for the writer.
Mm-hmm. You can see the trailer, on Woolly Rhino YouTube channel.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. I'm excited for it.
It should be. It's coming along. We're very close to launching that out. So.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, was there anything else with the writer?
No, I don't think so. Yeah, I'm just looking forward to seeing it. It's been a while.
It's been a while, yeah. So you guys,
it hasn't been a while, but now that you say like 2 years, it's like, oh yeah. It's...
Well, a year and a half.
Yeah.
But just like, we're just so busy. We were so busy with Down Under Heaven. It's just like,
right.
Time has gone so fast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I also think it'd be cool to mention that, you know, Kellen, you and I went to, took some classes together in film school, but also you saw our teaser for Down Under Heaven and you were like, these guys can make some armor.
Yeah, which was really random because we were just thinking about how can we make some armor or a costume for this character that we have, and then you posted the trailer. I believe it was July of 2012.
Yeah, it was like late spring of 2012.
Yeah, and then I watched it. I'm like, hey, yeah, okay, yeah. So then I reached out to you, and then we met up at was it Stacy's?
Tracy's. Yeah, magical, super, magical Tracy's.
Tracy's, yeah, yeah. So we went up there and then we talked, and then, yeah, now we're here.
Which now, is, now you're in the film.
Which is cool. We used EVA foam to make the ODST armor, which you were working on, and then repurposed for the Guardian armor.
We did.
And then repurposed again back for ODST, which you wore. So it was kind of funny to have that armor.
That's funny. Just, yeah. Well, you know.
Behind the scenes.
Ooh. Way to recycle.
And in, yeah. And in the teaser, getting the armor ready for the teaser for the writer and for Don, we have this nasty habit of staying up until the very last minute doing things. I think the first day we shot was in the woods in Hudson, and we were up to like 5:30 before that.
Oh my gosh! Stuff ready. I don't even know how you guys were working. That's crazy. Yeah, because when you stayed up for the writer, and then you came and you delivered the costume, and you slept on the couch for a little bit. That was funny.
Oh yeah.
Just because you're like, I'm so tired.
But it's all going to pay off in the end.
Yep.
When we get the final product. Yeah. And then we are unfortunately not graced by the presence of David today. He is off doing bigger and better things than us, which I don't know if we can address.
Yeah. But, well, he's working with Corridor Digital. They're back in town. They always come back to Minnesota.
They are every a year popular YouTube channel.
To film something. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that right now. And hopefully we'll be able to help later this week.
Also, they are using our camera, the same camera we used to shoot Down Under Heaven. They're using to shoot this. Well, one part of the cameras. Of yeah. Not like, I don't know if it's the main camera, but.
Sure, they have a specific purpose for it.
Sam and Nico sent out a tweet. Hey, anyone Twin Cities have a Blackmagic Production 4K? And we're like, yes. And then they tweeted back. All right. Let's do it.
Yeah.
But they didn't have room for all of us on crew. So just David's working with them this weekend. And hopefully we'll be able to help out next weekend.
Yeah. Don't know what they're doing, but
cool.
Should be pretty cool. Yeah. And Oscars happened. When was that? That was early. I felt it was early. Usually it's like this weekend.
March.
Like, yeah.
Oh, I always thought it was February. I don't know. Like, like a couple weeks after the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Usually it's on
which it was
like my birthday.
Yeah,
pretty much.
Okay, so that's how you mark it. Yes, so we're now transitioning from local to bigger stuff. Yes. Which
hence me talking about
right.
Come on, Wayne.
I know. I'm wondering more than anything, what do you guys think should have won Best Picture?
I don't know because I haven't seen everything.
True. Yes.
I've seen maybe three or four of the Best Picture nominees.
Well, you saw the Best Picture, Birdman.
Yeah.
Which is all you really need.
Yeah, I don't think that should have won, I guess. I mean, but I can't say that because I haven't seen anything else, but.
Mm. Well, what do you know what else?
I don't know. Theory of Everything for me probably should have.
American Sniper was
probably that's the thing. Favorite. I haven't seen that, but I really want to.
I haven't seen it.
But yeah, I don't know. It's tough. There's a lot of, there's really no clear front runner with this year. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's a good example for a clear front runner, like when we had Not the Hurt Locker. Well, like Slumdog Millionaire, that won Best Picture, and it went up against Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Frost Nixon, Milk, and The Reader. I don't know, for me at least, I thought Slumdog was like,
That was kind of a letdown for me when I watched it, just because I think my expectations were huge.
Really?
For
okay. That.
But yeah, I have to watch again, revisit it, maybe change my mind.
I don't know. It's hard, like, I don't know if I get slack for this, but a lot of the movies felt like, I always have a hard time with movies that have, like, a clear agenda to them, or they're calling to a certain part of humanity or a cause, and I just feel like they have to be recognized, otherwise you get...
You're talking about, like a good example would be An Inconvenient Truth, right? Highly politicized and polarizing film trying to call attention.
Well, it's just like they're all great films and really good causes. You know, there was Alzheimer's, ALS, you know, Martin Luther King.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
just very like, and there was,
The Imitation Game was about, you know,
Alan Turing.
Oh, Imitation.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It really, like the whole movie, it was like very subtle, but then at the end they had like a little message about it of Great Britain and what happened back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like at that point then turned it into like, this is
the theme. This is it's never good when, I mean, especially when I watched Birdman, it was kind of just spoon feeding the audience, kind of, hey, this is what we're talking about. This is the theme. And when it's just the writer was talking to the audience, which I felt like, but.
I think we can agree. It's just always uncomfortable when you feel that the writer likes the writer's hand.
Yeah, it takes you out of the illusion.
Yes.
And that's nice with Imitation Game.
A movie actually that I just remembered that I really enjoyed, and I like that it got some attention in the smaller categories, was the Grand Budapest mm-hmm. Hotel.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To me, that could have been Best Picture. But, yeah. it wasn't a very serious film, which is why I liked it. It was just fun and great writing, great acting.
Mm-hmm. Cinematography was like impressive.
Yeah, like the style, just how they did it with the miniatures and
it won quite a few Oscars though, didn't it?
Yeah. It did like makeup,
costume design,
costume
too?
Set sound. Design? Is it set? Yeah, set.
I don't know.
It actually won quite a few, but it was like, you know, those ones that people don't really pay attention.
Yeah,
not the acting or the
the
best picture. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was one that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. But also more importantly than that, Lee and I didn't see Birdman, the best picture. Sean, you saw it. Kellen, you saw it.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just dying to know if you guys thought it was the best picture. So
what? Oh, you want to go?
Here. It was terrible.
Hold on.
Hold on. No.
Okay.
This movie, my name's Sean. I'm behind the mixer right now. This movie was terrible. I stood up at the end of the film and I was like, that was pathetic.
What was the one thing that really stood out to you?
It was kind of the spoon feeding thing. Kellen kind of hit it right on the head, but it was so off the wall. Like, if that's how they're describing Hollywood and the way storytelling is going in Hollywood, like the movies that they poked fun of, I think they're entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy them.
I mean, there's kind of two different types. So, you know, there's art and there's entertainment. I mean,
yes.
Filmmaking it's a business. So they're ripping on it. And they have a point. You know, we make a lot of superhero movies.
Yeah.
A lot of just CG action films. So yeah, they have a valid point, but it was just obvious.
Very obvious.
Yeah. The problem
that's
is
my
like,
two cents.
They've
I'll
done that
the
from
mic
the
back
beginning.
To
those type of movies, like, have just like really, you know, like I don't know really old ones, but like King Kong or like
That's because the blockbuster started in
it's just a fantasy, you know, like bringing the audience somewhere that you're just. You don't see outside your window.
Mm-hmm.
So Kellen, as a writer, how would you have, I guess, changed the script in Birdman to, you know, make it something that you think would have been redeemable?
I would have taken out, I would have not shot in one shot, or in quotes, one shot.
Oh, I didn't even know that was done. So the whole movie's one,
well, I think they,
quote unquote, one shot?
They faked it.
Yeah, they spliced it.
But they made it seem like it.
Yeah, because they did.
Which has been done before.
They did the same thing with Rope or Hitchcock movies.
Hitchcock,
Yeah, so they would just kind of like fade out the shot and stitch it together, sort of. But, well, that's not...
What do you think the intention was behind doing it that way?
Artistic.
I don't know. I can't say anything off the top of my head. Maybe just to make it realistic or just to be... Like, there's no break... In, mm-hmm. with like no stepping away from the characters, kind of stream of consciousness. I don't know, but from a writer's standpoint, I would, because there were four writers on the movie, I would say cut it down to one or two. It's kind of a lot, and it was a
so
bit.
Was it always like really like mid shot, like close ups the whole time, like they never like got away, like the characters never got away from the camera. Or
they were definitely wide shots. Okay. Yeah. So and it was nice. They like very good lighting, very good camera work. And technically, it was a nice, very nice film. Just some of the choices were not what I would do.
How was Michael Keaton, like his performance?
He's fine. He's awesome. I mean, he did a good job. Yeah.
I feel like the other movies that he's kind of stepped back in for Hollywood have been pretty poor choices.
Yeah, because he did
like a RoboCop and
yeah, he was hamming it up in that movie big time.
It was on Netflix. It was
yes,
but what are the other ones that
he did? Need for Speed.
Oh yeah,
which I saw in theaters. Like I knew what I was getting myself into. I'm like, well, that wasn't that great, but he was in it.
He cracked me up when he was on stage as they were accepting Best Picture. They're like, one of the guys was like, "Hey, anyone want to sit Michael?" And he's like, "Hey, I'm just glad to be here."
That's awesome. Yeah, he's kind of a goofy guy. He's always been that way. So, yeah. But he was kind of perfect for the role just because he has that zaniness and clearly out of his mind in a way.
Right. Okay. Also, going back to Grand Budapest, he did win 4 Academy Awards for Best Original Score, Best Film, Best Production Design, Best Costume Design, and Best Hair and Makeup, which I could see, which I didn't really take into account when I was watching it, but the costume and like production design is actually pretty impressive.
Yeah,
it looks nice. It's just an interesting movie to look at. Like, yeah. You don't really want to take your eyes off
everybody that went up to for them. Like they would always be like, "We couldn't do this without Wes." Like
they kept cutting back to Wes Anderson.
Making a point to like acknowledge him because it seemed like he didn't get any attention at all in any other categories.
I see.
Like, yeah.
Hey Wes, your vision. He has a really like weird vision, but fun, and I've enjoyed his other movies. Just really quirky and
definitely. I was also really happy with Theory of Everything winning Best Actor. I forget the guy's name.
Eddie Redmayne.
That's the one.
how would you compare that to his acting in
Jupiter?
Jupiter Ascending.
See, I liked him in Jupiter Ascending. I feel like
I thought he did a pretty good job.
I mean, it's not an amazing movie. I feel like he did a good job with what he was given. Obviously, with Theory of Everything, like he just went above and beyond. And it's curious. I want to go back and watch the version of that Stephen Hawking story with Benedict Cumberbatch playing the role.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because he also played Stephen Hawking during that time of his life. So I want to go back and watch that movie? One.
It was a BBC film.
Something like that. Okay. But just to compare and contrast. But, you know, when I first watched the trailer, it was like that, I can already tell that's a great performance. The way he, you know, transitions from like this like upstanding, you know, kind of posh Stephen Hawking to like his deteriorated form and how his struggle. Just like, oh man, that's going to be awesome. Do you guys feel like there was any upsets besides Lego Movie, of course?
I don't know. No, it was pretty predictable.
Nice. Like, exciting broadcast. Says
it every year, yeah.
It was really boring to me, the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah. Neil Patrick, he's such a safe host.
Not as safe as Billy Crystal?
He's hosted it how many times? Hasn't he hosted all of them in the past? Like, this is his first year not hosting, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I don't know. Probably he gets away with other jokes because I'm not gonna get into that, but
here we go, Lee.
Oh.
I thought Ellen last year was a really good host.
Yeah,
she did the whole selfie thing that broke Twitter.
Oh yeah.
The problem is like they didn't do like any sketches. He did the one with the Birdman thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah,
that was about it. Otherwise, it was just, here's the next person. Mm. All right, commercial break. All right, here's the next person.
He did have the bit where he made his predictions about the night.
The what?
His predictions.
That was stupid.
Like, there's no pleasing
me. What was cool about it? Like, it was just a stupid, like, magic trick.
I don't know. That was kind of funny.
It's a magic trick?
He was like, oh, I got all my predictions for the Oscars. Like, thinking, like, he picked the winners or whatever in this box. And, like, he made, like, someone watch it the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And that... And at the end, it was like a big list of everybody's like what John Travolta did. He touched her face and like just a bunch of jokes about what happened during the thing.
Whatever her name is.
Mandel or whatever.
Idina Menzel. Is her actual name?
Nelson Mandela. Yeah. the wickedly talented.
Which that was pretty funny.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah. I enjoyed that they went out together and he made fun of himself. That was nice. But he did touch a lot of faces that night.
Huh, that's kind of weird. All right.
What did you think of the Jack Black?
I love in the that. Beginning. Yeah, like where they're singing these. Do you see that part, Kellen?
No, I haven't seen any of
the opening was probably the best
part. Yeah, so Neil Patrick Harris and I forget her face, who plays Cinderella.
Kendrick.
They were singing this song about how glamorous it is to be in movies and Hollywood, and then Jack Black is sitting in the front row like, oh, you guys all suck. And then he like gets up on stage and starts like being really cynical, like, everyone watches movies on their phones and how nothing means anything. And they're like, Jack, do you mind? We're doing a thing. And yeah, and then he gets off stage.
Like, but he's like, I know, but.
Beat it.
You know who I did enjoy hosting 1 year? It was Hugh Jackman.
Oh yeah,
I enjoyed that.
He did a lot of song and dance numbers. Yes, he was like, bring back the musical.
Yeah,
that was his thing.
Yeah, it was fun. It was entertaining. It was something I hadn't seen before.
But going back to the sketches thing, I remember one of my favorite hosts was Billy Crystal. But the year that I think it was Return of the King won Best Picture, and he like superimposed himself into a lot of different movies. Yeah. Like he was like Legolas, like shooting part. Down. Yeah. Yeah. And then it cut to him. And what's the one like romantic comedy with Keanu Reeves and Jack Nicholson? I can't think of it, but it's like there's that one scene where the three people are like in the hallway and they're all naked and they're like do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. With Keanu Reeves and Jack Nicholson.
Yeah,
it's
I don't think Keanu Reeves was in that scene. Jack Nicholson and the female lead was they're like in the hallway like like naked.
Did it come on 03 or whatever?
It was the same year, yeah, as Return of the King. But then like Billy Crystal superimposed himself, so he was standing there like looking at Jack Nicholson like completely naked. Yeah, stuff like that. I think it's really good.
Well, yeah, they did that a little bit this year too, which was it was pretty good. He just kind of wasn't there in the corner.
That's right. I do remember that now. But all in all, not bad.
Yeah.
Probably better than the Super Bowl halftime show.
Another thing that they did a good job, they learned from, I think it was last year, was cutting off people. They still play the music, but there was one guy that just kept going and they just kind of like stopped the music and then he just kept talking and they didn't cut him off.
They should just make it like tweets. Like you have 140 characters to do your speech and then get off stage.
Which is funny. They used to just cut the mic off.
Which is hard because they give more time to like best actor and best actress and like
stuff.
And then best picture, they like talk as long as you want.
Yeah, it's like the foreign films and stuff. They're like trying to, you know, say something about a cause or things like that.
I think it
can't really cut off.
I can't remember if it was best foreign or not or something like that. The guy was like, the music came on. He's like, oh, the music. And then he's like, all right, I'm trying to go as fast again as it's playing him off. But yeah, I don't know. I thought it was good.
I'd be terrible if I had to go up there.
Yeah, what would you say?
I would have something prepared and I would just wouldn't do it.
You're like, I wrote a speech, but fuck it, rip it up.
You could just read it, just like high school speeches, go up there and just, read it, never look up, and then leave. Yeah.
This film was such an inspiration for all of us.
So nervous.
Cool.
Just prepare a film, like a video, and acceptance be like, all right, roll my video.
Yeah, but in that video, you'd still be like, thank you, everyone, for coming.
And then the music plays in the video. Yeah. That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, they're playing me off. I don't know. Well, one day when we're all accepting Academy Awards, we'll deal with it then.
I'm only going to accept Razzies. That's what I'm going to accept. That's all I got. That's all I got in me.
Kellen, if Honest Playground was nominated, how ready were you to just like go out and like not be at the Oscars, obviously, but just go out to California just to be out there for that night?
Just for that night?
Yeah.
I guess I'd have to get out there really quickly, right? No, and that would have been very exciting. That would have been super cool.
Kellen and I both worked on a film that was almost nominated for an Academy Award back in 2008. And it's called Honest Playground, a short film about child soldiers. And it made the top 10 list of live action shorts, and the top 5 from that got nominated. So it was this close.
So close.
Yep.
Didn't Wooly Rhino get a regional Oscar?
Emmy.
Yeah. Oh, that was
regional Oscar. Is that a thing?
Midwest.
Do they do regional?
Emmy.
No.
Regional Oscars?
I don't think so.
No.
Never heard of that. I'll look it up.
I don't know. Yeah. So moving from Oscars about other film news, we have Neil Blomkamp tweeted out that his next film is going to be an Alien sequel.
Oh yeah.
Which is funny to
pretty
tweet out instead of like showing a trailer.
Well, he like it first started with like he's like, oh, here he tweeted some pictures of like concept art that he did or something, and he's like, oh, this would be really cool if I got to do this. And it seemed like to me it seemed like a stunt on his behalf to like get fan support to then go back to the people that are in charge of Alien and be like, yeah, look at all these people that are really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Let me make this film. And then he did.
Yeah.
So, which he was working with Weaver on Chappie.
Yeah, that's right.
And kind of talking about it, and that's kind of how it started. And was she in another one of his films? No.
I don't think so.
Not Elysium.
So now we'll have to compare not only the Ridley Scott and James Cameron view of that universe, but also Neil Blomkamp. Now you got me fucking up his name.
There was a third one. Who was the third one?
Was there a third
David
director?
Fincher.
David Fincher.
Yeah.
Oh, what did he do?
Alien
3.
Okay.
Alien.
Power to the third.
Yeah. Whatever. I'm good at math.
Well, there's a fourth. Who did the fourth one? I don't know.
I think he was a French director. Okay. I don't know why I know that. I don't know.
But it's so important. this will be the fifth one.
Was his name Gaston Saint-Pierre?
Yeah, his name was Gaston. Yeah, let me plug that again.
But this will be the fifth. It's separate than the Prometheus. That's a separate kind of sub,
right?
Timeline now, or a series or franchise, or but whatever you want to call it.
Yeah,
same universe. Yeah, but directly after the events of the other ones.
What happened in that movie, man?
I don't even know. Like when it ended,
I've been waiting for the
so
second
confused.
One to answer some questions. Better
deliver.
Yeah. Like,
but anyway,
I know who are the creators.
Like I, you know, I'm a fan of Blomkamp. I think he has a really cool and unique vision of aliens and extraterrestrial life in general. Elysium, it was pretty cool. I think he was trying to tell a bigger story than the action allowed him to. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like he was just like really reaching for this big.
Did you think Matt Damon fit that movie?
I mean, he was okay. I don't
know.
I didn't really like his character.
I just felt it was a little off. Like,
yeah,
I think he could have, but the character wasn't written because he wasn't very likable in any way, because he was like a convict, right? And then he
down on his luck.
Yeah.
But like, now like he's going to have to infiltrate Elysium to save the world.
Yeah, it's an awesome concept. There's some cool stuff in there. Very cool action scenes. But his character just kind of bothered me.
And I thought a lot of the elements were really simplistic. Like all the locations were either this crappy city. I think it was L.A. or something, like crappy futuristic L.A.
Yep.
or something, and then Elysium. Mm-hmm. And it was just between those areas. Yeah. And they were trying to say, because L.A. is so crappy and everyone's miserable, the entire world is, and every person on Earth wants to get to Elysium. And everyone in Elysium is this rich, like, asshole who wants to live in, like, this futuristic paradise. Like, that's what the setting was. And I thought it was like, no, give more nuance, give more, I don't know, background. It was a little, like,
too black and white.
Well, yeah. He said, he's like, yeah, I fucked that up.
Did he really?
Yeah, he came out and he was like, I fucked that up. I kind of dropped the ball there.
That's good.
So, yeah, I mean, that gives him way more credibility. I like him a lot now that he says that.
We'll see with Chappie how that turns out.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I think more than anything, he's good at, you know, establishing two distinct sides. Like District 9, he did that. Mm-hmm. And I think the antagonists in District 9 were a little simplistic, but it didn't bother me because... what's the main character's name? It's
Chappie.
No, so his real name.
Same guy who played Chappie.
Charlton.
I forget his character's name, but
yeah, I don't remember it.
It's like his first initial struggle with the prawns, and like them establishing a relationship, and so it had some nice you know growth to it.
I
nice
love
arc.
The when he betrayed the prawn too.
Christopher, like, I think is what his name was.
Yeah,
called him Christopher.
Yeah, just like. Like, he wasn't a perfect character and, like, struggling with, like, trying to get back to his wife and stuff.
Yeah, no, he was extremely unlikable
in
the beginning.
But you wanted him to succeed, too, at the same time. So I love characters like that where you don't always agree with their actions but want them to succeed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that'll be really fun to see. Does he say anything about when he's going to show, like, a teaser or something?
I'm sure they're not even started on anything.
Oh, okay. So it's very early still.
Yeah.
Got it.
It's just interesting being more open now with like Twitter and stuff about that, with movies. Everything's moving to that, even like games or just software, like open development concept. It's really interesting to see things move that direction.
Yeah. You know, I think that would have benefited a lot with the Star Wars prequels. Like maybe George Lucas like opened up the floor and like, all right, I'll take all ideas. Give me your ideas for Star Wars prequels so I can put them in the script.
I think we've even talked about this before with like Mass Effect 3 and stuff, and how, you know, do you just take what the artist gives you and you either like it or don't, or do you go to what the fans want? And
yeah.
So that's a thing. I mean like they say, hey, what do you guys want? They just kind
of well basically gauge it off of everybody hated the end of Mass Effect 3, the video game.
Okay.
And they went back and did a like a little add-on DLC and redid the ending.
Oh.
In a way. They didn't really change the ending, but you know, they spent time and added content and an alternate, you know, ending basically.
Huh.
That's do you think cool. that fixed people's opinions who are upset?
Not really. That's the thing. Like,
haters gonna hate.
Well, if it happens, it's not like gonna go away. Like yeah. that, you screwed up the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you just gotta, basically, you know, Neil. Like, yeah.
Yeah, you just gotta kind of own up to it.
He's not gonna make sorry. Like Elysium 2.0. Like, hey, I'm gonna do it right this time.
Yeah, go back and add in more special
obviously,
effects.
Movies are a little different than video games. You know, you can't.
Bullshit, Abrams is going to come out and be like, all right, the Star Wars Episode 7 is really just a DLC for the first three movies.
Or just like as you're watching it, like gets to a point where like, oh, you know, you got to wait for a download. Like,
oh, finish. Don't even mention that out loud. Now it's going to happen.
Oh, be bad.
Going to fix some bugs.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, and that's another thing. Like George Lucas did that to the original films and everybody hated that.
Oh, yeah, the special edition.
Added creatures all over the place, fixed Han Solo weird. Shooting first and all that stuff.
God, that's so weird.
It's just a bad idea. Mm-hmm. It's just, especially when you do creative stuff, it never gets done.
Yeah.
You just have to let it go exactly. and move on to something else. Like, just, that's it. And then you learn from that, whatever the mistakes, like find a different project.
Mm-hmm. And some of those mistakes can be part of the charm.
Exactly, yeah. Which the original trilogy was through the theatrical release.
Mm-hmm. What's our transition here?
We don't have one. Lee wanted to talk about the Power Rangers fan film that which is now was down. All over the internet.
Yeah,
and now is taken down and like that. Which I'm confused about. Like, who cares that much? To be like, by the way, Power Rangers stole half their footage from a Japanese show, so for them to turn around and be like, hey, we're gonna bust you for copyright infringement.
Wow.
Who like, owns Power Rangers?
I don't
think it's Saban. I don't know. I'm pronouncing it right.
Bunch of just cynical assholes. That's who.
But I don't know. I guess I just wanted to talk. Like, I didn't find it that impressive from a quality standpoint. I didn't like the reaction. Everybody like, oh, it was amazing. Like,
it was amazing.
This is incredible. Like it was cool. It was cool. Like, oh, cool. It's adult. You know, there's blood.
Yeah.
Killing. And then there's Power Rangers, but cinematography wise, I thought it was pretty bad. The fighting
was
really bad.
Really rough with the Blue Ranger or whatever.
Billy, he's a Blue Ranger. By the way, okay. It is Saban Entertainment, and it's funny. Wikipedia like refers to it in the past tense, like it's not a thing anymore.
Oh,
maybe it isn't.
Oh yeah,
they could be out of business, but
BBS
they still
Entertainment,
they still own.
I think. Okay, oh, so okay. like Disney, so ABC owns it now.
Because yeah, they're developing a feature film for it, and I think they just wanted that removed because of it. Because I'm sure it's not going to match the tone at all.
People get attached to it. It makes sense.
I thought the film was cool, but for it to be effective for me, they really had to incorporate more elements from Power Rangers. They didn't do enough. They called things the machines, which I guess could have worked, but the machines were the Zords, which were on the side of the Power Rangers. The things they fought were just big monsters.
Yep.
So I don't really know what they meant by the machines. Do you guys get that?
It sounded like they were making a whole new other thing. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Yeah,
but
like,
then why bring in
Rita?
Like,
they got technology
machines.
From something. And
I'm gonna nerd out about Power Rangers right now.
Yeah, I was like, you know a lot. Wow.
But no, like for it to be effective, they should have brought in like someone should have said it's Morphin time. They should have got into some Zords and did some like Megazord fighting and did the transformation. That would have made it. Cool. The whole like interrogation thing that went on for 10 hours with Dawson from Dawson's Creek doing this and a bunch of holographic stuff.
I hate Jester stuff now.
Minority
like,
Report?
With like Iron Man. Like
it was cool in Iron Man and now
just,
it's like...
Just waving your hand doesn't mean the computer knows what just like picture you want pulled up. Like it's so stupid. Like like Dawson was, he was just like moving around like and things were like calculating and like
like how you're calling him
and...
Dawson. Yeah, Dawson. That, he just played Dawson that's, in that, right?
I don't think he can get away from that, but that's just me. Yeah, just that. What color was the black dude?
I think he was blue.
Was he blue?
What?
The Power Ranger. The
so this could be a confusing conversation.
Well, kind of. What season are
he
was, you talking
He was all
about?
Like working out, and he had the I thought the no Power Rangers.
Yeah, but what season? Because
the fan film.
Yeah, but
did you watch it?
I did.
Wait, what?
But every season of Power Rangers has a different cast, and they have different like.
Oh, okay.
I'm just talking about the yeah, you know the dude lot, in the awesome. In the fan film.
What was his name? I didn't know. Like.
But anyways, he had a fight scene, and it was ridiculous. It was with a bunch of like Asian dudes, and
it's not good.
And they all had guns around him, mm-hmm. and he's like, "Okay, I'm gonna fight now." He like threw his helmet at somebody.
That was.
And they all stood there with their machine guns. And waited him to die. Him. He ran to somebody to go hit them, and the other guys on the other side just like watched.
Didn't they shoot at him, and then the bullets bounced off his suit?
They everybody shot
his
at
Argyle sweater.
Everybody hit yeah. his head, and they bounced off his head and killed the person that would shoot him. It was like three people that shot him in the head.
Oh, okay.
No one shot him in the
but
body.
But he's wearing the helmet, right?
Probably the hardest part to hit usually, and they all hit him in the head and get, bounces directly. Back towards the shooter and
Lee,
kills him.
You're 100% right. This fan film absolutely failed to portray the realism that is Power Rangers.
Exactly. That's what I'm pointing out.
Yeah. It was cool. It wasn't like worth breaking the internet over.
Yeah. Which part of it, like to lead into a movie we just watched, Kingsman, with like ridiculous action scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There is a point of realism that I want, but also. I don't know how to say it. Like, you accept so much like ridiculousness and like the action and
mm-hmm. yeah,
you know, kind of like
suspension of reality. That's
yeah,
the term, yeah,
like you can get away with things if it's done well, and I'm fine with that. I like that. But when it's just like that's all it is, and it's very focused on that, and like meant to be what is cool about mm-hmm. the scene.
Yeah, well, possibly what they
then it fails.
they did wrong in terms of that. Well, not wrong. But they could have done differently. It was such a hard vision of or hard and gritty vision of Power Rangers,
mm-hmm.
and then like you're expecting, oh, it's like gonna be real. This is gritty, and then that happens. Like mm-hmm. bullets bounce off a dude's head and kills three other
yeah.
people. It's kind of
but
what?
Like they could have just stick like let's not have people have guns. Like just
yeah.
stick with like fists and fight and have cool fight scenes, kung fu fight scenes.
And why do they have guns at the beginning? In those flashbacks, the
Power yeah,
Rangers
exactly.
Guns.
Yeah, well,
I didn't like
do they
that
just
either.
Steal those guns.
Sometimes the Power Rangers use like little pistols, but
yeah,
not
they
often.
Did.
Most of the times they just
again, you know, because it was a you know teenage, you know, young adult.
Yeah,
like they're not.
But they're not like soldiers. They don't go in with like rifles. They're
yeah.
they fight. They do karate.
Hmm.
Exactly. Source material, Dawson.
he was a co-writer on that.
Yeah,
was it?
Yeah,
which is crazy.
But going back to writing, you know, like Kellen, when we were in screenwriting class, like. One of the first things you learn is to, like with dialogue, like first day on second semester, we finally got to write dialogue in our mm-hmm. scripts. And our professor said, he said, whenever you write a line of dialogue, feel a little guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every line has to serve some sort of purpose in the script. And mm-hmm. I think that goes to with exposition too. And when you have a guy just like randomly doing this shit, like typing on computer holographs or holograms that don't really mean anything.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You just like the short is full of things that are just to look cool and nothing else.
Yep.
Which is fine, but if you want me to take it seriously and actually be into it, you can't just fill a whole short with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, you have to make it really visual, and I always struggle with that. You know, oh, let's write some dialogue. Well, it's garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And so to make it visual, I mean, people remember that way more, remember pictures
right.
way more.
Mm-hmm. The rule can be broken at the writer and director's discretion. Like Quentin Tarantino, for example, he has just like, his movies are plays almost. There's so much
yeah.
dialogue.
Yeah.
yeah.
But I don't know. I think knowing the difference and when to break that line is, you know, a key part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm. I think my point too is like, yeah, it's cool to see everything, you know, starting with like Batman, like going dark and serious. But
mm-hmm.
at the same time, you know, we don't always need all that. I like a little fun. I like a little Dragon Ball Z.
The Avengers is a good example of that. The
Avengers. Yeah, I think they had a really good balance in their movies, and I hope they continue that. Josh Whedon, like, he's just a great director, and he has that same style in Trinity. Or what is that called?
Serenity.
Serenity.
Blade Trinity?
Blanchard.
What? well, we're at about 45 minutes now. We want to transition to the movie of the month.
Yep.
Cool. This month we saw Kingsman. Kellen, you saw it as well.
Yep.
A new, was it? Is it a British film or is it an American film?
Seemed British.
Yeah. Seemed very British. we'll go with that. British film starring Colin Farrell.
Sorry. Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah. He's in every movie, right? Awesome. Colin Firth. Colin Firth, the classic British gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
The guy you hate in King's Speech.
I didn't hate him. Just wasn't better than Inception.
There was a lot of Michael Caine was in there.
Yeah, a lot of classic British Michael faces.
Yeah. What's the
guy who played Merlin?
Mark Strong.
Was that him?
Merlin, the gadget dude.
He always plays bad guys.
Yeah, I love him though.
It was cool to see him as not a bad guy though.
Yeah, he's great.
Because he's the bad guy in first Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr. He's the bad guy in that film.
And then Kick Ass, he's a bad guy as well.
Mm-hmm. He made a good guy, good guy too. I thought it was a lot of fun. I think going back to your point, it had a good balance of the realistic tone, but also just kind of like fun action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually something that he said in interviews. He's like, you know, the spy movies have gotten so serious.
Mm-hmm.
I just want some fun in it.
Every movie has gone that way.
Yeah. Like it's cool to be just dark and depressing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he just wanted to bring that back.
When you look back to the old Bond films...
They had a whole line in the movie to talk about that.
Yeah, yep. When you go back to the old Bond films, they're kind of silly. Like, a lot of silly things happen in the old Bond films.
Yeah, the Roger Moore ones are rough to watch.
Some of them are too silly for me.
Yeah. Yep. And Sean Connery, I think his movies were pretty solid, and they balanced pretty well.
Well, they even made fun of that in Skyfall with Q in the museum, where they're like... You know, he gave him a gun and a radio.
Yep.
And he's like, what do we, you know, I forgot what the line was, but.
He's like, what do you want, an exploding pen?
Yeah, which exactly.
I think to me is about GoldenEye, because that's the first time I saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might have been an earlier film. But I thought it was a solid film.
Mm-hmm.
What's the name? The name of the main guy, Eggsy.
Eggsy, yeah.
Taron Egerton? Edgerton?
Was he in anything else?
I don't think so. This might be his first
big movie. He did a good job.
Yeah, I was worried that I was going to be annoyed, but I was not at all. Mm. Like he was good. He was a good lead character.
Yeah. I thought the fighting, the way they did the cinematography and the fighting.
The action fight scenes
really
were awesome.
Cool. They were really cool.
Yeah. Because you could actually see what was happening, but it was really intense at the same time.
Yep.
Just
Taron Egerton or Edgerton.
That's my hugest complaint with... New action movies and
like the Bourne movies are rough.
Oh right, a lot of like fast, shaky.
Was it the
shots?
Third one? Like I had to look away from. We're in theaters and I looked away for like 5 minutes during like the car scene in the tunnel or something like that.
Yeah, it's hard.
I was just like, my eyes like hurt so bad.
It's tough to watch those, but
yeah, it was almost like 300 style where the scene where Leonidas kills a bunch of guys, like it's one shot, but it's done
not
like
slow though. They didn't really.
There was no slow motion. But like the way the camera moved and stretched and kind of like went all over the place was reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
To see Colin Firth kick ass was really fun.
Yeah,
and it gets really dark too. It's like it, but it is done
lot
in
of, a lot of killing,
a lot of lot of heads exploding. But
spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoilers, heads explode in this movie, mine included, because Samuel L. Jackson was an awesome villain.
Oh yeah,
and he like had a weird speech impediment too, which is funny.
That a lisp.
Yep. But I don't know.
Yeah,
my favorite,
his, like not liking violence too. I thought was perfect.
Yeah, he's
too.
Like trying to like.
That was great. Yeah.
He's
like, trying to kill a bunch of people, but he just like can't see blood. He just blood. Like he shoots a guy in the head and just like, oh god, whoa, get away from me. But my favorite line that he had was when one of their satellites, he's trying to do this master plan. He has a ring of satellites.
Are we doing spoilers or?
I mean, it's not a huge spoiler. I was just going
to
say.
That's a pretty big spoiler. Talking about his plan. To...
Oh, fine. No spoilers.
I'm just.
No spoilers. Then we're just
I'm
quiet
just trying to protect,
for the
I really
want to
say
ass.
It.
Do we want to transition? That's what I'm asking. We usually say.
Movie was great. Go see it. All right. Spoilers. So.
All right, come back to this point after you've seen the movie,
right?
Sean, sorry.
Yeah,
to listen.
No, this is not a big spoiler though, because like he has his network of satellites, and then one of the satellites goes down, and he can't carry out his plan. They're like, it'll take an hour to reroute. And he's like, ah, fuck that shit. Move those two over closer to that one. He's just like a funny villain. He's just like trying to be this big boss, like Bond villain, but just like says these hilarious things because he's Samuel Jackson.
His I don't know, what do you call it? Sidekick minion or what's the
Bladefoot or whatever? Bladefoot. That was not her name.
What would be a word for the villains? Like
chief henchman.
Henchman. Henchman. Yeah. Like similar to
that was really cool. She basically amputee had like
double amputee.
Double. Blades for feet, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, made some very, very cool action scenes.
Yeah.
Well, one major complaint that I had was there was just so much computer, like CG. Like, it was just crazy.
Yes.
And I did not like that. It kind of took me out of the illusion.
I didn't notice it too much.
Yeah. I don't know. Especially, like, at the beginning as well, when there's, like, the intro. There's, like, the motion graphics, the title and stuff.
Oh, well, I just kind of took that as, like, they were doing it on purpose, like, making it look that way. But maybe I'm wrong. Kind of making it silly,
but I thought it was really cool how they tried to use the whole like the classic British, you know, knights kind of thing. I mean, it was good that they didn't like take it too literally. It was just like code names and stuff, and their real front was a tailor shop that made really awesome suits. By the way, I want one of those suits. and I just was really taken out of the movie when we found out that Arthur, Chester King, as in Michael Caine's character, was a traitor. And I thought that was just done for sake of there being a twist. You know, when you always have this like central high up figure who's like, no, he can't be a traitor. And then he is.
Yeah.
It was a little weird.
I didn't think that was necessary at all.
Not at all. Because like the whole point up to that, they're trying to establish, oh, the Kingsmen are these like really robust and devoted, loyal, you know, they'll go to the grave for this organization.
Did they need that to make it just three people
but again that's like the
otherwise they would have had a bunch of other agents involved.
The hand of the writer coming in and say nope, plot, screw characters, we need plot. It was like moving really fast from that point on. And there's a saying that I like where when a movie stops making sense that point on, just say, oh, that part was a dream. Like like the main character is like dying and that's what he dreams that happens. Because, I don't know, from that point on, just moved like 1,000 miles an hour. And like, all right, now we got to go here. And they're making all these decisions that completely contradict this, like the rational decisions they're trying to make in the beginning of the movie about everything. Like, we need to like audition like all these people to come in to fill this one role and go through all these rigorous tests. And then he's just like, fuck it, you're in. Maybe they were like just at desperate times, but I don't know.
What do you think of the princess part?
Go on. The which part?
The princess part.
Oh, doing it in the A? Yeah, that felt a little... When that happened, I was like, oh, hey, where'd that come from?
At that point, I thought the movie was just trying to say, yeah, fuck it.
Well, I felt like...
Yeah, it was kind of like, we give up.
I felt like they were making fun of the Bond thing because he always, like, gets with a girl.
It totally was that. Yeah, yeah.
Like, let's make it really awkward.
If anyone hasn't seen the movie and still listening, basically, one of the prisoners from Samuel L. Jackson is the princess of Scandinavia.
Norway?
Not Scandinavia. That's not a country. One of those countries.
Norway or Sweden.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Don't mix those up. They'll get pissed.
Yeah.
But anyway, Eggsy, the main character, like, finds her, and he's like, I'll let you out, but first I have to save the world. And she goes, once you save the world, can we do it in the asshole? And it's like, what?
Yeah, that was just odd.
Well, he's like...
He's like, I'll be right back.
He's like, I've always wanted to do it with a princess. And she's like,
oh, yeah.
Well, if you let me out, I'll do more than that.
Is that a Frozen reference, maybe?
Is it?
Maybe it was because wasn't she was
Kellen's taking this into a dark
she
place.
Was a Norwegian princess or something, right? I haven't seen the movie, whatever, I'm just making stuff up.
I think it's a make-believe place, but
no, it's supposed to be like fairy Norway. Tale a Scandinavian fairy tale.
I'm just saying that that town
was, oh boy, like, we are getting way off uncharted territory right now.
Don't ever invite me back.
We'll do.
What else? So good villain, good side villain. Colin Firth, I thought, probably my favorite role that he's been.
Yeah,
he was solid. And the fight scenes, that was probably my favorite part. Like, just the way they shot it. It was all like continuous takes, and it wasn't choppy editing or anything. I really appreciate that. And the choreography. I mean, it's hard to do that and make it look good.
Definitely. The choreography was awesome. Although,
especially that church scene.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Just a lot of people in there. That was...
That's...
What did you guys think about the clear, blatant social commentary? Like when the prime minister of, I think it must have been Britain or something, was like, I can't believe you're on board for this plan. And he's like, well, let's be honest. I'm a Republican. I don't care. Or something like that. He's just like, yeah, I don't give a fuck about other people. I'm a Republican. It's just like, okay. All right.
Yeah, there was a lot of that throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. Kind of disguised under this fun action movie, which is good to have some substance in there.
Well, they had like Barack Obama in there too, just for...
Oh, that, yeah, that, that, I forgot about that. No, I'm sad that I remember it. It was kind of, it was weird.
It was just no purpose.
Really. Yeah, just like, there.
Are you talking about the scene where Sam Jackson is talking to the president?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You don't see his face. You just see the back of his head.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah. Just the voice in the back of
right.
the head.
Right.
I should have got him. I should have got him. He would have done it, right?
But I'm just, you could have left it, you know, just, they're just politicians.
Like, all politicians are evil. Mm. Yeah, that's the, exactly. the gist.
That's the theme of the movie.
The one scene where Michael Keaton is introduced and Colin Firth walks up and sees him there, I'm like, oh, why not? Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course Michael Caine's in this movie. And of course he plays the same guy he always plays.
Michael Caine.
Yeah, he just plays Michael Caine. Mm-hmm.
I did think it was funny that it was about global warming, pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll
yeah,
see.
Go see it.
Definitely. Good movie.
See it in theaters. It's already, for sure.
I don't know how accurate the source is, but it says it's number 4 for rank of the year for highest grossing.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Number 4.
Or, I mean,
$209 million.
Domestic or worldwide?
Worldwide gross.
Oh, really? I wonder how much they made it for.
50 Shades up top, followed by Taken 3 and SpongeBob.
Hey, oh, gross. SpongeBob. Sequel time.
And then Jupiter Ascending after Kingsman.
Really?
Which I assume they spent a lot more money than $116 million, but I could be wrong.
Interesting fact, the director of this film was originally going to be the director of X-Men Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
But he dropped out to adapt the comic book of the Secret Service that ended up being this film. So
yeah, he's done a lot of good stuff. Like his first, wait, was it Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels? No, that was Guy Ritchie. Whatever. He did Layer Cake. He did Layer Cake, and that was awesome with Daniel Craig. It was a very good movie. So he's...
Oh, what did you guys think of Mark Hamill?
He was good. Oh, yeah. I didn't recognize his voice at all.
Yeah, well, I only recognized it because I heard him do the Joker voice, and I saw his face as he was doing it, like for the cartoon Batman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so that's why when he had that kind of like lower raspier voice, I'm like, hey, this guy.
I just don't recognize him.
Right. Because he's like kind of short in stature and a little more pudgy than he used to be. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought he was great. And he did the British accent pretty well. He didn't talk a lot, but I thought he was really fun to watch. I can't wait to see him again in another 10 months or so.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's soon. That's going
to
come back quick.
Yeah, finish it up here? What are we excited to see?
Oh, yeah, for this year. Obviously, Star Wars. I think we can all...
Is that your top?
What else is coming out? Sean.
Jurassic World.
Yes.
Really?
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know. I'm scared about that one.
I'm nervous.
I'm so excited.
You made your own dinosaur? Sounds like a bad idea.
probably shouldn't have done that. Depends on what? Depends on what kind of dinosaur they cooked up in that lab of theirs.
Just... you know what? And then he has like velociraptors next to him as he's riding a motorcycle. We'll see. It could be super fun.
But did you see the follow-up trailer where he's training them? Like, hey, what?
Oh, nope.
Did you not see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, we got to watch that after this is done.
Like dogs,
he's training the velociraptors like in a ring, like a circus trainer or something.
It just is. This,
oh,
it's
like
a circus
movie,
right?
Like at a zoo, you know, like training them.
Right. No, I bet like once they hatched, he like bonded with them. And
so, oh, okay. So he's like their dad.
I think it is pretty possible. Well, you know, at this point, we've seen a million things done with those dinosaur models from Jurassic Park, you know, and like Jurassic Park 2, 3, and whatever else.
But they're just cool, like dinosaurs. It's just a cool movie to see.
Yeah, I'm just, whatever they want to do, do it. We'll see. Hopefully, there's not a lot of CG.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Because that's the one that Jurassic Park is known for. They're awesome, practical looking dinosaurs.
Yep.
Like the velociraptors are guys in suits,
mm-hmm.
and it looks great. So hopefully, not a lot.
What else comes out? This year.
Obviously,
Age of Ultron.
Star Wars. Oh, Avengers,
yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm excited for that. We'll see.
I think Mission Impossible.
Yeah.
I'll see. I'm excited. Wait, Mission Impossible, when does that come out? This year?
July, it says.
July?
Yeah. I haven't seen anything about that.
I don't...
Maybe that's not accurate.
I think that might not be accurate, because they supposedly halted production to figure out or rework the ending or something. So
I think Fantastic Four actually looks good.
It does look good.
Again, it's the, you know,
reboot,
more serious tone than the previous one,
which is what you need, right? Serious. Fury 7. Anyone looking forward to that?
You know what? I love terrible action movies. So yeah, I'm super pumped for that.
But the thing is, they're not like, people don't think of them as bad movies anymore. They're actually like apparently like entertaining films. They're not like Transformers.
Yeah,
I think it's very odd they're making another Steve Jobs.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. No, Fassbender. Danny Boyle, director, Annie Sorkin, screenplay, Fassbender.
Michael Keaton.
Seth Rogen.
Michael Keaton.
Kate Winslet, Jeff Daniels.
Magic Mike, XXL, guys, come on.
You know what?
Alicia?
Steven Soderbergh DP'd that movie, so I'm excited. Anything he does, I'm very excited for.
Yeah. I'm told Magic Mike, you know, is good, a genuinely good movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's solid.
I haven't seen it. Take everyone's word for it.
Yeah, Tatum did the screenplay. Did we say that?
What?
Huh? Channing did the screenplay
for XXL. Yeah. It was based off
his life.
His life.
Yeah, he was a stripper.
Totally.
Hunger Games, second one. Are you excited for that one?
Oh, hold on. Number three, part two. So the fourth one. Yeah.
Final.
Oh man, it's tough because I really like Catching Fire, and I really wish they would have condensed this into one film. Because the part one just, it was good, but it dragged, man. There were scenes with which nothing happened.
A lot of people said that.
I'm glad they did it for Harry Potter part 7, because there was a lot of stuff, but not every book can do that.
What about Pan?
Oh, yeah, the Peter Pan remake. Yeah. That looks pretty cool.
The guy, what's his name that's directing that?
Joe Wright.
Yeah, Joe Wright. He's done some pretty good movies, Atonement, and he did the movie Hannah, which is a spy movie with fight scenes, like just totally continuous shot, and they're great. So, yeah, I'm excited for that. Probably pretty good.
Oh, Steve Jobs. Yep, that's coming out this year. Kate Winslet. What's up, Sean?
Is there another Maze Runner coming out?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Really excited for that.
Huh. I heard the first one was good.
Scorch Trials.
Whoa, sounds intense.
West Ball.
And I'm sure more will be announced in the coming months, but so far for me, Star Wars number one. Let's be honest.
Probably none of those that we mentioned though will be Oscars. Maybe Star Wars.
Star Wars hasn't.
Wait a minute, Spectre. What am I? We're missing the Bond movie.
Is that this year?
Yeah, it's December, I think.
Wow.
Or
do you guys think this will be the last Daniel Craig
film? No, I think he signed it for one more.
Yeah. Mm.
Is fine, but they keep saying how old he is, like, you're old in the movies, which, like, is, why don't you cast him younger?
Yeah, which is funny too, because like in Casino Royale he looks super young.
Yeah,
and but he's like, he's aged since then. That was like 2006, I think.
Maybe he drinks a lot, I don't know.
Though I'm really mad that they, like, I thought they were gonna continue this whole like timeline thing of this organization that they just found out about like Quantum Solace and stuff like that.
Yeah, and they just dropped it.
They just completely abandoned it because Quantum Solace didn't do well. And
that
just
sucks, because he was progressively uncovering something.
Yeah, exactly, and like, you know, fueled by his lover, Vesper's death, the first one, and like
Quantum Solace was. I mean, it was a letdown, but it wasn't bad. Like, if it was just a movie that came out, like an action movie, people would probably really like it. But it was a Bond movie, and they wanted it to be over 2 hours. But
obviously, Skyfall, you know.
It's good.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But
very, very good.
Bad, movie. You know, the bad guy. Again, they even said it in Kingsman, like,
I was
the films are defined by the bad character.
I was very underwhelmed by the villain in Skyfall, actually.
Really?
Like, he was cool, but he did things that made absolutely no sense. Mm-hmm. Like how he was able to like, it was just so cheesy when Q was like, Bond, he's been playing this for years. He wanted us to capture him. It's like, oh God, another one of these. And then like, he's trying to escape through the subway.
Wait a minute. Yes.
And then Bond's like, he like detonates the wall. He's like, was that for me? No, but this is. And a train comes to kill. It's like, really? You timed out a fucking subway with like, you knew Bond would follow you to here. It's like, what?
That was really bad. I remember that. I was like, that's stupid.
Like, it's a good movie, but stuff like that just makes me go,
some of that,
oh.
I do, you know, suspend my belief in those moments.
But anyway, cool. Yeah, so a lot of fun stuff coming out.
Well, thanks for joining us, Kellen.
Hey, thank you guys. Thank you very much.
Maybe we'll have some of the more Woolly Rhino guys.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, they'd be glad to join you, I'm sure.
Get Bryce's and Mike's input. I'm sure we'd appreciate that. And all their film knowledge.
Yeah, cool. Well, until next time. See you guys.
Bye.